We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Chiefs are a hell of a team. They got all the talent in the world. They've been playing at a high level. They've been to the Super Bowl twice. They got a hell of a quarterback, hell of a receiver, good defense. They're a good team. You know, it's something that we look forward to as far as like the challenge and putting ourselves in a position to have success. So you can't really say nothing other than they've been doing all the right things.
Bills receiver Stephon Diggs, some of his comments yesterday with the media. We're going to talk about Sunday's opponent for the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's get right to the Wester Hotline. Phone lines are open, too. We'll have time for your calls in this segment. If you're in there, hold on. If you want to get in, 803-0550 for your thoughts on the game. Dana Hughes, former Chief, is with us right now. He works for 610 Sports Radio in KC. Dana, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, fellas. Appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate you giving us some time. You know, we'll get your thoughts, obviously, a lot on Kansas City, Danon, but what's the talk there? Okay, we know what Bills fans are saying about the matchup with Kansas City. What's the talk so far from Chiefs fans about the matchup with Buffalo this weekend?
You know what? I think here what we're hearing and what we're seeing is, and what we recognize from earlier this season is that this is likely the most complete Buffalo Bills team that we've ever faced. It's probably the most complete team this season that we faced, and it's one of two teams that, out of our five losses this year, two teams that pretty much embarrassed us, and they embarrassed us on our home field. So the Chiefs recognize what they have at hand. They recognize the revenge factor wasn't just about that earlier regular season matchup, but probably some hangover effects from the AFC Championship. So we know we have our hands full. We know that, you know, this team is strong, healthy, and they're coming in with a championship on their mind. So we have to step up to that challenge.
Dana, one of the storylines, I think, for this team, of course, was the defensive turnaround. When the Bills were there in Week 5, the Bills, as you mentioned, the Bills beat them up pretty good. And it seems like it's almost a night and day from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. So what happened with the defense?
You know what? It's interesting because although you always hear as you grow up through sports, it's a team game and not one player can make a team. I'd say the acquisition of Melvin Ingram has been the jolt to this defense and to this team that was very necessary. He won't have the stats. If you look at his numbers, nothing's really eye-popping, but to me, he is the defensive MVP of this team, and he hasn't been on the team very long, but just his impact and his presence on the field, his energy is just something different that I think the Chiefs needed. If you go back a couple of years to that Super Bowl run in 2019-2020, we went and got Terrell Suggs at near the end of the season, and it was just something about his presence on the field that teams had to respect. And I kind of feel like it's almost the same, but with more production. I mean, Melvin Ingram has really done an outstanding job involving himself in this defense, taking some chances, and also allowing Chris Jones to move back to his natural position at the defensive tackle for the most part. So I just see a little bit more life with this defense right now. Frank Clark is healthy. If you remember that first matchup, Chris Jones didn't play. Travarius Ward didn't play. We didn't have Melvin Ingram. Frank Clark was dealing with a hamstring injury, so I kind of feel like it'll be different, and not only just because of how they've been playing over the last month or so of this season, but just also with the personnel that will be available this week.
And you mentioned Chris Jones. I want to ask you, you know, from time to time we will talk about edge guys, like a coordinator has to make sure this guy doesn't, T.J. Watt, you know, a player that doesn't single-handedly destroy you possibly. You don't hear it a lot about guys inside. Aaron Donald, of course, would be on that list. Mm-hmm. What about Chris Jones? Is he that kind of player? I know Clark's there. I know what you said about Ingram. If you had to focus in on one guy, is he that good that the Bills have to make sure they're knowing what they're doing against him?
Oh, absolutely. He is that good. He can be a run game wrecker. He is definitely a guy that can be a heat-seeking missile on opposing quarterbacks. I think he showed that last year against you guys and against multiple other quarterbacks. I think the thing was is that during the offseason, he kind of made it his mindset to be a defensive end. And to some extent, when we played the Baltimore Ravens earlier this season and they run all that misdirection and RPOs, he got caught in no man's land looking sideways, like where's the ball at and who's got it. And that wasn't necessarily his forte. He's a guy that will slash between guard and tackle. He has the speed and the athleticism to work a TE stunt where he can work on the outside as well. So when Chris Jones is healthy and when he's focused, he is definitely a force. Maybe not to the level of Aaron Donald, but he is definitely a force that can be part of a wrecking crew for opposing offenses.
Get to the offense, obviously, Mahomes in a second, Danon. But as you know, Josh Allen's having a hell of a year, and the Bills have Diggs. They've got a lot of weapons. It's a pretty deep group in terms of receiving options in their passing game. So tell us a little bit about the state of the Chiefs' secondary. How have they been playing, and how do you believe they will match up in terms of their pass defense?
Well, the pass defense has come a long way. Earlier this season, we were giving up big plays. Heck, when you guys came to Arrowhead, you guys had a few big plays that took the top off of our defense. Since then, there's kind of been an adjustment that has not garnered those kind of big plays. The corners are playing a little bit more physical at the line of scrimmage. They've really done a nice job squeezing receivers to the sideline. The Pittsburgh Steelers, we played them twice within a month, and you guys know the size and speed of those guys as well as the Chargers. Big receivers that like to be isolated on the outside and one-on-one and usually high point the ball very, very well. Outside of our Bengals matchup where Ja'Marr Chase went for a career day, the defensive backs have done a nice job not exposing themselves to big plays down the sidelines. Now, I think they'll have their hands full, like you said, with Diggs and Beasley and those guys. But that's what has been the nature of our defense. That's how we've been successful, is that the guys have been technically sound, where they're making the quarterback throw difficult throws. And as a wide receiver, former wide receiver, that's what we were taught. Don't get yourself squeezed to the sideline, because it only makes the throw tougher for the quarterback, and it gives the ball more air for a defensive back to intercept. So that's what they've done well so far, and I assume the receivers for the Bills are watching that film and going to try to figure out how not to get squeezed to the sideline and make Josh Allen make tougher throws than he really needs to.
Former Chief Danon Hughes, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City with us. All right, Danon, let's flip over to your specialty. Let's go over to the offense. We'll start, of course, with Patrick Mahomes. How would you characterize Patrick Mahomes' season?
It's been a maturation process, and that's crazy to sound to say, because he's been a Super Bowl MVP, he's been a league MVP, he's been to two straight Super Bowls, and has, you know, in 3 years of being a starter, has been a phenom. But there were some holes in his game that I thought he corrected. When we started off 2-3, 3-4, there were some chances he was taking. There were some. He looked like he was trying too hard. And if you've been around really good athletes, as you guys have seen with Josh Allen, I'm sure you can attest to over these last couple of years, the times when they're trying too hard is the times when they are negating their God-given ability and that special aspect that makes them great. When you just allow the game to come to you, then you can see the prowess. And I think during the 8-game win streak, there were times where teams were, or media was discounting the wins because we were playing against teams that Aaron Rodgers less Packers and the Giants and the Cowboys and the Steelers who weren't themselves. And they weren't really giving credit back to Patrick Mahomes. But if you really watch his game, He's really made a concerted effort to stay in the pocket longer. I thought last year, especially in the Super Bowl, the Buccaneers forced him to flush out earlier than he wanted to, and he kind of played into their hands by exiting right and exiting left and only giving himself half of a field to work with. Now he's staying in the pocket. When he does scramble, he's scrambling up the middle, and he's taking what defenses are giving him, and he's playing on schedule. And on schedule means once that back foot, that right foot plants, he's getting rid of the ball more times than not, and that pushes the limits a little bit against opposing defenses because they think that he's going to look for the big play every single time. And what he's done pretty much since the Bills game is he's taken the running backs out of the backfield, Darrell Williams, now Jerick McKinnon. He's gotten the ball quickly to Travis Kelce, the bubble screens quickly as well. So he's matured to an extent that I don't think many people thought he really needed to. But if you watch the film, it's definitely gotten better.
You know, you're saying that, and I'm hearing a little bit of some of the things we talk about Josh Allen. And I think the idea of like what New England did to him, Dane, and the whole, you know, we're gonna sit back. You're not gonna beat us over the top, and you know what? You're not gonna be patient enough. You're gonna make you'll make a mistake. You'll force it, and he just great. I'm gonna take what you're giving me, guys, and I'm just gonna pick you apart, move downfield, and we're gonna get touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, and that's scary to anybody that's playing against Josh as well as Patrick Mahomes. Is, you know, if they get patient, like, it's one of those deals where, okay, now what do we do?
Like, yeah,
okay,
right.
And I think that's where you roll the dice at some extent, and you hope that you can get pressure and force the second and 12s and the third and eight situations to get them behind the sticks and force the bigger plays to be thrown down the field. To me, that's where this game comes down to, is that who's going to make the mistakes and penalties that are going to put them behind the sticks and get in predictable situations. I think last year, if you go back to that AFC Championship, there were a lot of times where Josh was running for his life, mainly because he had to stretch out the play because the down and distance garnered that. It warranted that. And I think kind of feel like that's going to be the case this time. You guys played an outstanding defensive game plan against the Chiefs earlier this season. I thought the mindset, whether it was on purpose or not, was to be extra physical early, maybe even wear some penalties, knowing that those same penalties wouldn't be called later in the game, and you established the tempo of the game, and you came out with a big win. I kind of feel like whichever team does that this week is going to come out with that same kind of win.
Okay, so the other thing, of course, the weapons. And whether it's, you know, whether you think it's more important to stop Hill or Kelce or the depth of the weapons in the passing game, the addition of, say, McKinnon and the running backs in the passing game, can you just talk a little bit overall about, you know, the depth of weapons Kansas City has, and is there a, quote, best way to try and stop them?
You know what? I mean, to me, if there's a defensive coordinator out there that's not focused on Travis Kelce, then they're making a mistake. Now, what you guys bring to the table that no other team brings is two safeties that are of the best in the league, and they play complementary football so well, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. To me, that can be a huge factor in this game, because if you guys can control the middle, Micah Hyde had a pick six against us earlier this season. Part of the reason is because the middle routes were what he took away. There was a combo coverage that you guys employed where the safety would come down on crossing routes, in part because there wasn't much respect garnered towards the other complementary receivers besides Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're able to kind of get that kind of momentum in the game where Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, like, they're ineffective and they can push all of their focus towards Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, especially in the middle, then it's going to be a long day for us. So we have to figure out ways where we're not put in predictable situations, where we catch the ball and not allow balls to carry them off of our hands, and we just keep moving the ball down the field. And when there's a chance to try to take the top off the defense, we take it. Even if you go back to that AFC Championship, the big plays to Tyreek Hill came by way of 5-yard passes that turned into 40-yard gains. I'm sure that you guys on defense are probably going to try to employ something that's going to change that, But those are the type of plays we need. And we saw that last week with Travis Kelce, big play, Tyreek Hill, big plays with yards after catch. So I kind of feel like that's going to be the recipe for that we'll need to be successful.
Danon, thank you very much for some time on the show. Thanks for giving us the heads up on everything, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate it. You too. Thank you. That is Danon Hughes, former Chiefs receiver. These days he works for 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City and joining us on the Wester Hotline with the lowdown on the Chiefs. All right, we're going to you need to go back to Pick of the Week for a second. Got a call up on two, so go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, Pick of the Week, by the way. I mentioned it was Jim Matheson versus Leanne Draisaitl. I forgot to tell you what the Pick of the Week was actually from Riverfront Auto Sales, so let me do that. And then I have a thing on the tweet. Riverfront's Pick of the Week is a 2013 Land Rover Range Rover Sport. Less than 26,000. You'll be driving it with confidence in the Western New York weather when cruising in this fully loaded all-wheel drive pearl white beauty fresh in from Florida. Check it out, the Range Rover, 2013 Range Rover, at Riverfront's website, or call Marty Sr. Marty Jr., 886-1626. Pat sent me a tweet real quick about this point's going around lately that the Bills haven't beaten anybody good.
Yeah.
Right? Their number of wins, they had a lot of great wins, and that's not wrong. They have wins over the Chiefs, and two over the Patriots. So that's three wins over playoff teams. That's it. Their next best wins are the Saints and the Dolphins, right, who just missed out.
Yep.
But the Chiefs are not exactly a team to be throwing stones for this. I mean, their wins, they beat the Eagles, the seventh seed in the NFC. I mean, beating Miami is just as good as beating the Eagles. I know that's a playoff team that's Philadelphia, but were they great? Like, what, you know.
They beat Pittsburgh, I think, right, in the regular season and then in the playoffs.
They beat Pittsburgh. They beat Green Bay with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And they beat the Raiders.
They beat Dallas. They beat Dallas. Yeah.
So they have more playoff wins over playoff teams. Sure, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't really make much difference. I will say this, though. Like, on the Bills' number one defense stats, I think that that does come with two things. One, having a good defense. And two, not exactly playing the toughest passing schedule.
Yeah.
They did not play a lot of great quarterbacks.
Nope, and we knew that going into the season that was going to be an advantage for them.
Yes, absolutely. That doesn't mean the defense isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that there's every bit a likelihood that a team that finished fourth in passing defense that faced murderer's row of quarterbacks is just as good as you are on defense.
Yeah, there's stats out there like what the Bills' pass defense has been since Trey was injured, and it's pretty high. And I'm like, well, okay, that's nice, but let's face it. Outside of Brady, who was the next best passing team they faced since Trey White was injured?
Right. Meanwhile, who have you beaten? The funny thing about these last four AFC teams is who have you beaten? If you're the Bills, the Chiefs. If you are the Titans, you've beaten both the Bills and the Chiefs.
And the Chiefs. Cincinnati.
If you're the Bengals, you've beaten
beat the Chiefs.
What's the common thread? All three of them have beaten the Chiefs.
Yeah, right.
So congratulations on all of your wins over Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Head-to-head, the Chiefs have lost to all three teams that are left.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter at this point. Talk to me about who you've beaten in week six. We're deep into the season.
Actually, the team with the best resume is the Titans, right?
Yeah,
wasn't
for
there
sure.
a stat on them about how many playoff teams they were beating? They beat the Chiefs, they beat the Bills.
And people don't believe in them at all.
Yeah, and yet they probably have the best on-paper resume.
I agree that, you know, I don't think they'll win the AFC. But I get caught between, like, are they a fraud versus are they just not as good? There was a interesting piece I saw. I think it was – boy, I'm going to forget who put it together. Anyway, if you compare the Titans, the not-healthy Titans to the healthy Titans, you see two different teams.
Yeah.
They have battled injuries. Imagine if the Bills had played multiple games this year without Diggs, a couple without Diggs and Sanders, and several, of course, half the season without their top running back. That might not hurt the Bills too much.
No.
Imagine they played half the season without Deion Dawkins. Because the Titans did that too. You know, they lost their left tackle, Taylor Lewan, in the Bills game.
Yeah, and then he was playing. I think he's been in and out too. Like, he's been constantly battling injuries.
Sure, and A.J. Brown missed time. Julio Jones missed time. And Derrick Henry missed half a season. So they've had really big, high-profile injuries.
Right.
And they are not hurt right now. They are, for the most part, they are pretty healthy.
Let me, we'll grab a call here before we hit our break. We'll get connected with our fans. Rio and Webster, thanks for holding on. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Hey, all right. Go ahead, Rio. We got you.
So, I was at the game Saturday. What a great game. But my call is, I just hope this comment that this game doesn't go with bad officiating. Hopefully it's a clean.
We lost him.
That's all I got to say.
There we go. Yeah.
Hope it's a clean game.
Yeah, we hope so too. I mean, the guy who's leading up the crew, it's not the entire same crew. John Hussey, the referee, his crew was known for not throwing a lot of flags, not a lot of penalties, not a lot of DPIs or defensive holdings. They're among the lowest in the league in those areas. So we'll see. It sounds like this would be more of a we're going to let him play type of game than seeing a parade of yellow flags all over the course. And I asked Jeremy earlier, I'm not sure if that benefits one team more than the other. Both teams have tremendous receiving cores, and so I'm not sure that would really make a big difference in this game, but it sounds like it'd be a little bit more of we're going to not over-officiate and we're going to let the teams go ahead and play. Appreciate the call. 803-0550 to join us. Tomorrow, phone lines open for your Bills Chiefs comments. Tomorrow, reminder, we'll have another Facebook Live special playoff edition show for you. So 8 to 10 tomorrow morning, head over to the WGR Facebook page. You can watch our show. And it is. Are you getting a haircut? I don't know if Jeremy.
Tomorrow.
Are you getting a haircut for the show?
After the show.
Oh.
Actually, that's a good question.
I thought you said you were going to, maybe you were thinking about getting one for the show. Not during, but.
I couldn't get in time, so I'm getting one after the show. Question regarding that. Should I not get a haircut because it's bad luck?
Oh.
If I get a haircut and they lose.
Ooh, Zach, what's the ruling on that? Yeah, you know what? I would wait.
And then a second question. Every single game.
Yeah.
We have watched outside this year.
Yeah, don't break it.
I mean, they haven't, not undefeated.
Every single game?
Every single game I've watched outside this year. Because we have a TV on a back patio and we go outside. Like last year in the pandemic, that became a thing. If family wanted to come over, you wanted to be outside. Well, we just kind of, kept that. We liked that.
Is there anything you did in every, 12 wins, is it, right? Is there anything you did in all 12 wins?
No.
All right, I'm not going to worry about the outside stuff. Don't touch your hair.
Well, can we flip those around? Because I literally could get a haircut, and I don't.
Haircut.
I don't mind being outside. I just don't know. If it's going to rain, it hasn't rained on a game. Like, I've been at the stadium for those games.
Yeah.
And every other game that I have been at the stadium, I've watched in the backyard outside.
What is
and this weekend,
for Sunday?
It's supposed to go, -2 on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's a little. Well, but come on. You were just outside in 0 degrees.
I'm not saying I won't do it. On Sunday, around here, around game time, it'll be like 18 to 20 degrees.
Yeah.
That won't stop me. I got a propane tower. I got a fire,
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Well, either way.
I just don't want to do anything wrong is what I'm trying to say.
Either way, if they don't win, I'm blaming you. I don't care what you do, but I'm going to blame you no matter what.
Yeah. By the way, while we're at blaming you, I realized something, Simon.
I didn't do anything.
I realized something about you.
God.
I know what happened. Last year, you picked the Bills to win for the Super Bowl.
I did,
the first time ever.
Right.
And now, that's all you pick. Because you realize you get to be like the mayor. Uh-huh. Nobody gets mad at you. Right. You just pick them to win the Super Bowl.
Wow, it just took you till now?
They'll make the playoffs next year at 9-7-1, and you'll be like, Super Bowl. To the ship, baby.
You just figured it out?
You're going to take the whole thing.
You think I want to get crap from Bills fans on Twitter because I have them losing in the divisional round? I'm not dumb.
You did have him lose to the Packers a couple weeks
ago. I did. But if you remember, I hedged my bet. I told you at the time, if they play Tampa, I'll pick them to win. But if you have them against because you were picking the other matchups. I said, you know what, White? I'll tell you what. They play Tampa, they win. They play Green Bay, they lose. See, people couldn't get mad at me because I hedged. I'm not dumb. I mean, I am not the brightest guy in the world. But sometimes I'm actually on top of my game.
Yeah.
I'm smart. Kudos. Why get grief? Honestly, I really do think they're going to win this game. I just love the way they're playing right now. I really do. And there is no more mystique or aura about Kansas City. They're good. They're really good. Mahomes can make you nuts. I love the way the Bills offense is playing going into this game. I really do. And I think they're going to put up a lot of points, enough points to win the football game.
All right.
Really do. Deep down inside. I'm not kidding. And I honestly do believe if they win this game, I don't know about Patriots level confident, but I'll be feeling really, really super confident about an AFC championship game, whether it's in Nashville or Cincinnati.
Here, I mean, I can't even comprehend.
Oh, but they're winning. I mean, they're
can't even. I can't even think about it. I can't even think about going into the broadcast booth and heading out to do pregame and the AFC logo is on the field, right? They put a logo for that game.
Yeah.
I can't even think about it.
Be fun, huh? Yeah. So, all right. Anyway.
He's fine.
Tomorrow.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, did he fall?
No, he's at my feet. He's screaming and doing stuff.
Because I thought I heard the sound of, like, hand hitting floor.
No, he's fine. All Molly right. was asking me, like, you got him for a second? Because he's making a lot of noise and he's doing stuff. And, like, yeah, that's fine. He thought the Value Home Center stream was today, right?
Yeah.
It's tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow at 8. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a day early, bud.
We're going to see him tomorrow? Are you going to see both of them tomorrow?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Oh,
yeah,
wow, right? He's angry. I think.
Yeah, no, he's excited.
Okay, good. I look forward to seeing them with the Spices.
And just relatedly, like, he is not named after Dawson Knox. You know, his name is Knox. But, you know, if like Dawson Knox like wins Super Bowl MVP, we'll just tell him he was, you know. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I would take credit for it.
We always knew he was going
to
be great.
Yep. Let's see. So Facebook Live tomorrow, 8 to 10. It is brought to you by Value Home Centers. Whatever you're working on this year, Value is ready to help. Visit valuehomecenters.com to find a location near you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whenever a quarterback's drafted in the first round, you know, they expect you to get to a position like this and to play in big games like this. So, you know, we've had a couple opportunities the last couple of years, and it's no different this year. We've given ourselves a chance to accomplish what we want to accomplish. Now it's up to us to go out there and execute and try to go put our best foot forward on Sunday against a really good team. And it's going to be a dogfight. We're excited for an opportunity to go out there and play another game, because not many people are playing football this late. And we know that, so we're not taking this opportunity lightly.
Josh Allen, some of his comments to the media yesterday as the Bills went through a walkthrough practice. They'll be practicing inside as they did yesterday, again today, and getting ready for their trip to Kansas City Sunday night. So I saw a tweet from Sneaky Joe yesterday, and I wanted to ask you a question about this game. The question is this: who is Ryan Fitzpatrick rooting for this weekend?
Bills.
He's played for. Did you know? Now, Joe said he was on 6 of the 8. I think he was only on 5 of the 8. But
Titans, Bills, Bengals for sure.
Okay, Titans in 2013, Bills 2009 to 2012, Bengals 07-08. You got
Bucks,
two more.
Yes.
Bucks 17 and 18, and the very first in this whole group that he played for.
It's
longer in that city.
The Rams? He played for St. Louis, yeah.
05 and 06.
So he did not play for the Niners, and he did not play for the Packers.
He wasn't in Kansas City at any point?
No.
Okay, I thought for sure that he was there somehow, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So, right, he's been on 5 of the 8 teams. Yeah, so you're going to go Bills on that one?
Yep.
All right, very good. I wonder if it – nah, he probably won't show up in Kansas City shirtless. Maybe he's – you know, if the Bills are in the AFC Championship game here against the Bengals, you know Fitzpatrick is showing up for that one and possibly shirtless. I did a quick scan of the secondary market, just get a little update on what's going on out there. The tickets have gone up a little bit, but not markedly so or notably so, whatever. The lowest available ticket yesterday was anywhere from like 126 to 142. Again, cheapest ticket available. So StubHub was 126, TickPick 134, SeatGeek 142. Brian Mazurowski and I, Jeremy, we were looking ahead a little bit. Mm-hmm. He started researching what the ticket prices were yesterday for an AFC Championship game. About $400.
Right. Where? Now. Here?
Here in Tennessee, it's pretty close. Here it was 409, and Tennessee it was 425. So it's pretty close. Mm-hmm. If you might be wondering, what about the Super Bowl? If you were to go online and say, you know what, I'm so confident, I'm going to go buy a ticket for Super Bowl 56. It's going to be about $6,000 to get you inside the building. Upstairs in like one of the cheap seats. But anyway, so that's, there you go. Not too bad. So 100, and if you're still thinking about maybe going, 126 to 142 upstairs, cheapest seats on the secondary market. Now, also, what I didn't do, I forgot, is the teams, right? You can go through the team website for turnaround tickets, right? Don't they resell tickets, I think, at their website possibly? So you might want to check the Chiefs site to see if there's stuff available through them. Anyway, so that's the secondary market note.
Okay.
All right. What else did I want to bring up? I had a Josh Allen stat, but I don't know what I did with it. So that's going to have to wait till tomorrow. Oh, I saw a Mel Kiper mock too. His first mock draft is out. The other three teams in the division, and now the Jets have multiple picks, but Miami, New England, the Jets, in Kiper's mock, guess what? He all has them taking
receiver.
A wide receiver to help out their young quarterbacks, right? Zach Wilson, what do you want to get him? Wide receiver.
He's already got a pretty good one in Elijah Moore.
Yeah, yeah, when he's healthy.
And
yeah.
The Dolphins have good receivers, too. I mean, if Will Fuller was healthy, Fuller with Waddle and Parker.
But they never got that whole group together.
They never did, right. Now, I'm not sure if was Fuller a one-year kind of idea.
I think so.
Okay. Then, yeah, I mean, an outside guy for Miami to help open things up for Waddle, like that sounds like a good idea.
And he, you know, you've been talking about New England needing that number one target. He had him getting the kid from Alabama, Williams, who just – is it Jameson Williams, I think, who just
Jameson
blew
Williams.
Out his ACL?
Yep.
He has that dropping the kid down in the round to the point where New England grabs him and said, that's your number one true target for Mac Jones if that kid's there, blazing 4.3 speed. We'll see where he comes off the ACL. But he had all three teams taking wide receivers. He had the Bills drafting what position would you care to guess at this point?
Defensive back.
Correct. He had him drafting a cornerback because of Trey's injury and depth at the position, that the bottom of round one would be a great place to get a cornerback.
One thing to watch this offseason is the tight end market. Have you seen the tight end?
No.
The free agent tight ends?
No, I didn't take a look.
Here you go. Here I'll start top down for their current salaries.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz.
Ooh.
And Jimmy Graham. Gronk. C.J. Uzuma, Ebron.
Ooh, he had Gerald a nice year for Cincinnati.
Gerald Everett, who just signed with the Seahawks for that 1 year.
Oh, it was 1 year.
Jared Cook, Max Williams, Robert Tonyan Jr., Anthony Firkser, O.J. Howard, Hayden Hurst, Evan Ingram, UFA, David Njoku, Tyler Croft, Mike Gesicki.
Really?
UFA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I like Gesicki.
Let's see who else. A couple further down the list here. That's about it.
Big fan of Gesicki. But the Bills have Dawson Knox. So
Dalton Schultz,
have to worry about
UFA.
Mm-hmm. It's a good group.
It is actually a pretty good group for tight end.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's deeper and probably overall better than the group we were talking about last year when we spent some time.
Last year it was, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, and Gerald Everett.
Everett.
Like Gerald Everett was the third guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a UFA again, didn't do too much in Seattle.
And you knew Henry was like clearly the top guy on the list last year. And he was paid accordingly. And he actually was good for Mac Jones this year, although the Bills completely took him out of the last couple games.
You know, I just found out that Gerald Everett is one of my birthday bros.
Hey, birthday. There you go. That's awful nice.
He didn't really, you know, he's...
He didn't really do much this year, right?
It's funny about some of these tight ends. Like Everett, I thought would be a great idea for the Bills. I thought Jonnu Smith would be a great idea. Turns out Dawson Knox, you know, they didn't need to do any of it because Dawson Knox turned out to be so good. Jonnu Smith remains to me like one of the big mysteries.
I think
he's so good,
but he's
underused.
He did
nothing.
Yeah,
for them.
Why? Why he is that?
I don't know.
Are we missing something?
I guess so. Probably.
But Tennessee didn't use him a lot either. They used him more than New England did, but they didn't. We would look at that and go, And I always thought that was, well, they have Derrick Henry. He's option one most of the time, and then there were other receivers. AJ Brown, whatever. Of course, they're not going to. But I thought, I'm with you. I always thought that guy's got ability and he'd be a really good weapon, a good piece to have at that position. And yet, you know, in Tennessee, his numbers were not great. And in New England, I don't know what the hell happened in New England. It just felt like they should never throw the ball to him for some reason. Like, he never even got, like, I'm talking targets, right? I could pull up his final numbers. I know they were behind Hunter Henry's, and I feel like there were games where he might not have had more than a catch or two if he had any. He just never was a factor in their offense at all, surprisingly. Get a break in. Someone is chatting up a storm at the White House this morning.
Oh, you can hear that? That's like all the way in the other room.
Oh, no. Zach and I are sitting. Yeah, we could absolutely make it out. It sounds like they're doing the shout song, but I could be wrong. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment, top of the hour. It's going to be the Extra Point Show with Joe and with Sal, and they will have Tracy Wolfson, a CBS sideline reporter. She's on the game Sunday night, and she's going to be on at 11:05. So stay tuned for that this morning on the Extra Point Show.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
The Sabres have reassigned Jack Quinn to the taxi squad.
Mm-hmm.
Our Paul Hamilton tweets, it is likely Quinn will play tonight against the Dallas Stars. He had 5 goals in his last 2 games in Rochester, 6 goals, 3 assists in 4 games after the call-up to Buffalo.
So here's a fun game we can maybe kick around tomorrow. I meant to get to this earlier. What will be on Stephon Diggs' cleats this week?
Was it Madden a couple weeks ago? I'm trying to think what was – he did a tribute to Madden at some point. What was it last week? What did he do?
Last week was Betty White.
Betty White, okay.
Wasn't it?
You might be right. And Madden the week before?
Yes.
What's on his cleats?
Was it Betty White last week?
You might be right.
Yes. Thank you for being a friend and Betty White.
Belichick throwing the tablet last year?
How about this?
What do you think? You got something in your head?
I do.
What?
A picture of himself from Arrowhead last year.
The famous iconic photo of him with the hands on his hips.
Put that on his cleats. I think it's a good idea, right? Why not? Like,
I was wondering where you were going with this.
What's your inspiration? Me. I'm my inspiration last year.
And not having that feeling again?
Look at the cleats.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now, actually. It's on Twitter here.
I'm trying to think, like, what else would be good? You know, like, what could you put on the cleats?
To inspire?
By the way, he was hurt last year. Not only did they hold him, he was hurt.
Right.
He only got targeted 4 times. Oh, Ice Age last week. That's what it was. Not Betty White. It was Ice Age.
Oh.
Because it was so cold. Thank you. God. Betty White was the week before. And yes, that makes more sense.
Probably. All right.
So he had Ice Age cleats when it was, you know, sub-zero.
It was stupid cold, yeah.
So what are the cleats this week?
Huh.
Famous revenge. Anyway, I'm starting to say, he only had 4 targets last week, which is like a season low for him. I wonder if it will be a Diggs game, you know? Will they target him?
I think you got to in this game.
13 times.
I hope so. I think it is. I think it's one of those games where you take your best receiver and get him the ball.
Who's covering him?
Good question. I didn't ask Dan and Hughes who the best cornerback was. I forgot. No, it's one. I was thinking about that yesterday. I saw something. Was it Aikman? Was like all upset because
CeeDee Lamb for the
Cowboys.
CeeDee
Lamb, right? CeeDee Lamb was like ignored in the game. And Aikman was basically saying, look, I don't care what the coverage is. Throw the ball to your best receiver. So I'm reading that thinking, Diggs. And I know Diggs was really cool yesterday about it's a team game. We're playing great team ball. It's not about my target numbers. He's your guy. Throw him the ball.
Yep.
Please.
One other quick note. You might not know of this guy's existence. You know, you're not downtown necessarily in the city that much, but the bubble guy has passed away.
Yeah, I would not. I'm sorry.
Chuck Incorvia was his name. I mean, I learned his name, learned a lot about him in the write-ups. Jim Stakeout tweeted it out. He's the guy that would blow bubbles into the Allen and Elmwood intersection above Jim Stakeout. You know, you could go down there any time of day, any day of the year, the last however many years, and he would just be blowing bubbles out the windows. You'd see bubbles flying around.
Yeah.
And it was one of the characters of Elmwood Village, Bubble Man, the bubble guy. He passed away, Chuck Incorvia. So you're seeing a lot of, like, the local news and the county executive even tweeted about him. Like, rest in peace, Chuck Incorvia. Maybe you never knew his name before. I didn't until, you know, finding this out about him.
Well,
so
thank you for mentioning
a staple of the Elmwood Village for a long, long time. You know, just a small gesture that he would do that would, you know, for people that live down there and are down there a lot, like, you would 100% know. The bubble guy. So.
All right.
There you go.
Okay, we are back tomorrow morning for Football Friday. Enjoy the Extra Point Show. It is on the way, and have a great day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.